and welcome to episode 61 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a show about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a special focus on surprisingly exciting statistical analysis. The Cavs have just wrapped up a 125-103 deconstruction of the Toronto Raptors, and they now lead that best-of-seven series 2-0. The series now shifts to Toronto, and Game 3 is Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I am Keith Carter, a devout Cavs fan with a frequently pessimistic team outlook. You all know my co-host Arnav Chabra, a PhD candidate at MIT and a good counter to my BSc intuition. How's it going, Arnav?
I am doing really well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm pleased that the Cavs blew out the Raptors again, and I just shoveled down some barbecue from a delivery place. But according to my digital thermometer, it is 84 degrees in my apartment right now, so I'm sitting here shirtless trying to cool off my gut and mostly failing to negotiate with the heat.
I keep it at 73. 83 sounds pretty hot.
Yeah, I'm on the top floor here, and there is no such thing as air conditioning in San Francisco. So for like the 2 days a year that it gets this hot, I'm stuck with it.
So what did you think of the game?
Well, even I was able to enjoy this one. The Cavs just looked terrific. They like couldn't miss from three. Their defense was strong. Even when Toronto had like a little bit of something cooking with Jonas Valanciunas, like he was still minus 13 on the night. Just so many positive signs.
The thing with the Jonas thing there, right? Like I think Cavs will take him. Cavs will let him take those two-pointers anytime. Because look at the number of three-point attempts that the Raptors got in total.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, like 17 three-point attempts in the modern NBA. Cavs will live with that any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, for those who haven't heard the latest thinking on this, I think the argument is that teams can't really control other teams' three-point make rate, but they can control their three-point take rate. So the Cavs took 33 threes tonight, and yeah, they made 18 of them, which is some unsustainably hot shot making. But even if they only shot 40% and, you know, made like 14 or something, they still would have you know, easily won this game. But yeah, the Raptors only getting off 17 threes is a huge win for the Cavs.
Exactly. And the idea there is that in the modern NBA, teams are not taking contested three-pointers. So if a team is taking a three-pointer, it's most likely open enough that it should be taken, which means that you're not really controlling the percentage of the make, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not perfect. Like, for example,
because of course, you can put up a hand up, or you can close out better. You can do a lot of things. It's not perfect.
Yeah, and then where they shoot the three from matters a little bit.
Exactly, like corner threes are easier.
Yeah, but generally, 17 threes is not going to be enough to beat the Cavs.
And that's the advantage with Jonas Valanciunas thinking that he can kill us, right? Like, sure, he was efficient, and you don't want him to be that efficient, but still, like, as long as Lowry is not getting the three, Norman Powell is not taking threes, Ibaka's not taking threes, you live with that anytime, any day of the week.
Yeah, and Valanciunas can't help them defensively. So
exactly.
The Cavs were, I think Valanciunas was 9 of 10 in 10 minutes played, and he was plus 2, right? Like, he was making basically everything he took, and they still couldn't forge, like, any kind of positivity out of that. So, yeah, and it's as we said. Yeah, it's as we said on our, you know, season or our series preview and after game one, like, he's just not really playable in this series.
Yeah, it's totally fool's gold there. And, like, look at the shot attempts, right? So Cavs limited DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry to a total of 23 shot attempts. Yep. If you add in free throws, add, like, three or four more, right? So that's 26 sort of possession attempts that ended up with them taking a shot or a free throw. And then look at Jonas Valanciunas, look at Corey Joseph, look at Serge Ibaka, look at, you know, Norman Powell, and add those up, and that's way more than these two guys. Right. And that's exactly what the Cavs want.
The Cavs seem to be employing a strategy where they trap DeRozan and Lowry, not every possession, but as frequently as makes sense, and they're forcing other players to beat them. And yeah, I mean, Valanciunas went 9 of 10. Even Corey Joseph tonight was 9 of 14, which isn't bad. But
a lot of that was garbage, though.
It
was,
right, that's true. That's true. That came in, a lot of that came in the end. But yeah, I mean, look, DeMar DeRozan was 2 of 11. The guy that was making fun of me on Reddit for saying Lowry is better than DeRozan has deleted his comments, which is sort of unsatisfying. Lowry was 7 of 12, which is okay. And you know what? I feel like Lowry's playing pretty well, but he just doesn't have enough around him.
Plus, he got injured today, so can't really blame him there.
He did. Yeah, there was a play where it was one of his own teammates sort of fell on his ankle, I guess. I don't remember who fell on him, but it was early in the third quarter.
I think Tristan tried to gain rebounding position,
yeah,
and somebody got pushed into his knee.
I think it was Norman Powell, but I don't remember for sure. But anyway, yeah, so he went back to the locker room and then he came back out and played a little bit more, but didn't play very well and was particularly bad defensively on Irving. And then he didn't play in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, look, they were down by high 20s for most of the fourth quarter anyway. So,
and I think the best thing for the Cavs, again, is that he only had 12 field goal attempts and 2 attempts from three. He was, I think, what, the second or the third best three-point shooter off the dribble in the league this season. Actually, I think he was second.
Yeah, that's a big part of his game, and the Cavs have magically sort of completely taken it away. What did you think of Kyrie Irving's game tonight?
I think the first two quarters he was terrible, but that third quarter was so good that it pretty much made up for most of it. Again, like his efficiency is not really there, right? Like 6 of 19, 7 free throws. So even if you look at sort of true shooting percentage, it's right around 50, which isn't bad. But it's not excellent either. But I think the best thing about his game today was his passing.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a rare pro Kyrie soliloquy here. So he had 11 assists tonight, 2 turnovers. He had 10 assists in the last game. These two double-digit assist games are the first two double-digit assist games of his career. In his first 38 career playoff games, he had only had nine assist games. So we were talking about, I think, after the Pacers series ended, if, you know, Irving could sort of turn over a new leaf in terms of, you know, being able to distribute the ball. And we both sort of laughed at that. We're like, no, we just have to hope his shots start falling. Well, his shots haven't started falling, but he has actually turned over a new leaf. I was complaining to you in the first half that I thought some of his assists were a mirage. He had one bailout to Fry in the corner with, like, he dribbled the entire possession and then, like, tossed it to Fry with 2 seconds left on the clock.
He made
it. Yeah, he had one where he gave it to Tristan with like 2 seconds left on the clock and Tristan hucked something up and made it. But look, that still get, like, even if I took away those 2 assists, that still gives him 9. And he has definitely, to the extent he can, made a concerted effort to distribute more while he's trying to figure out what's going on with his shot. And it's been fun to watch.
That's the thing, right? Like, we've always said that he's a good passer, but he's not a willing passer. And it doesn't matter if you're a good passer, if you never actually make a concerted effort to pass the ball and to get your teammates involved. Yeah. So, and if he's doing that, yeah, like the team is so much better, right? Like think about what LeBron can do now if he's playing off the ball and he doesn't have to take up all the playmaking duties. I mean, he had 39 points on 14 field goal attempts.
Yeah, we've once again buried the lead. LeBron James was unbelievable tonight. Yeah, so 10 of 14 from the field. He took 21 free throws, which might have some people complaining about the officiating, but 6 of those came on 2 fouls while he was shooting threes.
Both by Ibaka.
Yeah. You could see Ibaka, like, complaining to the refs after, like, sort of showing how LeBron was going up and under his arm. But, yeah, too bad, sucker. Like, don't reach.
Like, Lowry does this all the time. Like,
I mean, this is, like, the new NBA where, like, if somebody's going to reach their hand out and you're smart enough to get that shot up. Love tried it. I don't know if you noticed. They didn't call it. Love actually had 0 free throws tonight, which has a tendency to affect his efficiency.
And it just didn't work.
Yeah. 4 turnovers and just 4 of 9 shooting for Love tonight. So not his best game, but he only played 20 minutes. So
he was in foul trouble, I think, after the third quarter or somewhere midway through the third quarter.
I mean, halfway through the third, the game was basically over. So I don't think he played after that.
So with LeBron, 39 points on 14 field goal attempts, you add in the free throws, it makes it up to 22 sort of shooting possessions.
Yeah.
And that is an 89 true shooting percentage.
That's not bad. I don't understand where he's finding this I mean,
3-point shooting or what? Like, is 3-point shooting? He's shooting 49% from three.
Yeah, I tweeted that, and let's see. I think he was 2 of 2 at the time, and he went 2 of 4 after that. So yeah, he might be up to 50% now. I'm not. Yeah, I guess that's exactly. But he's probably still shooting like 49-point-something%. That is incredible, and you wonder how long he can sustain that. They mentioned it on Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue's Twitter NBA show. They were talking about, yeah, I mean, LeBron is shooting whatever, you know, sub 70% from the line and shooting basically 50% from three. And they asked Danny, you know, what did he make of that? And Danny said, I think that the 3-point shooting is going to go away. and that's sort of like a pessimistic take on it. But yeah, who knows? It's he's been good from three all season, and it's continued and actually improved even in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, he is distributing the ball less the last two games. As Irving's assists have gone up, LeBron's have gone down. LeBron's scoring efficiency has gone up. I think LeBron has been playing better defensively because he's having to dribble less. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But also because he's getting to play free safety. So he racks up a lot of those steals. Like he's guarding someone who doesn't need to be guarded, right? So.
Yeah, he had 2 almost steals and he had 3 actual steals in the 2 blocks. So and when he's able to play in that way, I think it makes the opponents play in a slightly different way. And so there's value even on the just having the threat of the steal has value. LeBron still did finish with 36 minutes played. He had 82 touches to Irving's 61. And Irving, let's see here. Yeah, so I finally found the secondary assist thing. So LeBron had only 4 assists, but he did have 3 secondary assists. Irving had none. So I don't know. Yeah, LeBron is still passing. It's just his role is a little bit different while they're having Kyrie play an actual point guard a little bit more.
So I looked up his stat line. Mm-hmm. If anybody in the playoffs ever has had 39 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks.
Yeah,
and nope, he's the only one.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'd be curious what the most points scored is with 14 field goal attempts.
Oh, this was the second highest in a playoff game.
Really? Somebody had more with 14 attempts? Who?
No, I think it was the exact same. I mean, so it was tied with the second, okay. If that makes sense. Yeah. It was like so Troy something. Somebody tweeted this out today. I need to look
Daniels
it up.
Daniels or something?
Okay. No, probably not Troy Daniels.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. I was trying to think. That was the first story that came to mind. I don't know what happens from here. I mean, the Cavs won game one of last year's Eastern Conference Finals. They won game one by 31, and they won game two by 19. And I remember, you know, the Cavs at that point had won 10 playoff games in a row. They just looked incredible. And then they sort of sleptwalked through games 3 and 4 in Toronto. They lost game... I can't remember, but they didn't play well in games 3 and 4 in Toronto. Do you think they learned a lesson there? Like, what do you expect from the Cavs as they head north of the border?
Knowing the Cavs and having watched them all season long, I think they're going to take their foot off the gas here for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're going to drop game 3. And then this time, I think they'll be smart enough to recover in game 4. Because even if you remember last time, they did recover in game 4. They had the lead in the fourth quarter, but just Lowry just went insane.
Yeah.
They ended up losing in like the last minute or something.
Yeah.
But they were playing from behind all the time. So that does take a lot out of you. But I think they'll recover this time in game 4. And it'll be a fun series.
The Cavs have done a good job in this series getting out to an early lead, which really makes it hard for the road team because even if they cut into it, you know, then it takes like another surge of strength to actually, you know, take and maintain a lead, and they just haven't been able to do that.
Actually, I was kidding. Since 1963 to 64, nobody has ever had... So since 1983 to 84, nobody has ever had 39 points on 14 or less field goal attempts in either the regular season or the playoffs.
Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense. You're using the play index on
on basketball reference.
Can you look up what the most number of points is with 14 attempts? I mean, we know it's LeBron with 39 tonight, but I'm curious like what the other top 10 are or whatever. Yeah, in the meantime, Toronto is in trouble. I mean, DeRozan is not he's not that strong of a player in the best of circumstances, and he's continuing to be sort of, I don't want to say a focal point because he only got 11 shots up tonight, but he's still getting a lot of touches on every offensive possession. And because his efficiency is so low, even in the, or so mediocre, even in the best of circumstances, and these first two games, he's been awful. Maybe in game three or four, DeRozan can end up, you know, shooting 60% or something, and that'll be enough to sort of get them over the hump. But even if DeRozan was had even average efficiency, this game still would have been a blowout. They just seem so overmatched, and I don't really know where they can find anything. Do you have any?
If Lowry's even healthy enough to play, we don't know what his ankle's going to look like.
He looked bad limping back to the locker room.
Before we get into me answering your question, let me answer your previous question where you asked, like, who had the most points with 14 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Basketball Reference, and I'm looking at both regular season and playoffs. And the highest points with 14 field goal attempts is James Harden before tonight.
And how many? Let me guess. Wait. Actually, I have no idea. I would guess like 37 or something.
Yeah, he had 37, exactly.
Okay.
But the difference is he also had 10 turnovers that game.
Oof.
As impressive.
Brutal.
Yeah. The second highest after that happened a couple of weeks ago, actually. Kawhi Leonard had 37 points on 14 field goal attempts as well.
Who was that against?
Memphis.
I remember that game, yeah.
It was the same game that Love had 36 on like 7 of 9, or 32 on 7 of 9 shooting.
Right, on 9 shooting, on 9 shots, right. This completely makes sense, and it's sort of satisfying that it's Harden, right?
Yeah. And number five on that list is also LeBron against Charlotte, which was also this season. Yeah. He had 32 points on 9 of 14 shooting.
Man. Yeah, that is some crazy efficiency. Can you hear this dog barking behind
me? Yes,
I
can. Yeah.
I don't know what to do about it. I have all my windows open, so like I don't have any. Yeah, so hopefully it's annoying me. So I guess, yeah, it has to annoy everybody.
It's okay.
Okay, so the other question was, where do the Raptors look for, you know, trying to improve here?
I think they're going to have to essentially make all their shots, because they did miss some open shots in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And second of all, they can't turn the ball over anymore. Look at how many turnovers they had today.
Yeah, okay, so.
And like basically most of them happened in the first three quarters. They didn't have many in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like that can't happen, right? Like. LeBron and Kyrie are just going to run out in transition. You're going to have like three shooters fanning out from that location, and you're just not going to win that battle at all.
Yeah, I mean, the game was already over, but those consecutive possessions when Kyrie had the steal and then the next possession, LeBron had another steal. I mean, that was it. And
basically,
yeah, I mean, it's not.
Sorry, go ahead.
Let me just finish. It's not just that it gets the Cavs four easy points, but it's like such a momentum swing. And
especially at home, right? Like the crowd gets going,
right?
It's hard. I don't know if they have an answer besides just hoping that the Cavs miss their shots. Like every position,
I mean,
they overmatched, right? Like Kyle Lowry was their guy who could have actually won the point guard battle, but if he's injured and limited and Kyrie is assisting like he has been, like I don't know,
right? We're not saying anything original here, but if the Raptors cannot win the Irving Lowry matchup, then it's over, right? Like LeBron is so much better than anyone on their team that they need to sort of like chip away at that advantage in other areas.
Right.
So, you know, you would hope that DeRozan would outplay JR. You would hope that Lowry would outplay Irving, or, you know, some aggregate of all those guys would play the aggregate of the Cavs minus LeBron. But,
just,
you know,
not happening.
And yeah, I mean, it's not like Irving and Love have been going nuts. I mean, we're looking for positive signs from Irving, but I mean, look, the guy still shot 6 of 19. Kevin Love scored 9 points on 9 shots. Like, those guys are typically more efficient offensively than that. And so the Cavs haven't even put it all together yet, and they're still winning by, you know, 15 points per game.
Yep. Which is the scary part for the Raptors, right? Like, Cavs, even though they've played pretty well, I would say, defensively, offensively, I think they have another gear, which is really scary to think about.
Yeah. I think so, too. The 125 points tonight was a franchise playoff record for the Cavs.
I didn't realize that. I thought we had beaten that in the Raptors series last year, but I guess not. Or maybe even the Hawks series. I thought, because we had a game where we had, what, 25 threes?
Yeah, where we made 40 threes or whatever, yeah. Yeah, you would think, but
I guess our garbage time
a few
team
things. A few things. First,
did pretty like, well today.
Yeah, that's right. The garbage time team did great tonight. They scored 26 points in the fourth quarter. But I think also playoff games just have such a slower pace, and especially playoff games like sort of pre-2010.
I'm pretty sure this was a slow-paced game too. Like, look at what, 75 field goal attempts and with 34 free throws, so that's 17 more, 85. Yeah, this was less than 100 possessions. Cavs are just insane.
Yeah, make sure you add in the turnovers too. But
yeah,
this was not a super high possession game. They were just... I mean, they shot 55%, and they shot 55% both overall and from three, right? They made 18 of 33 threes. But like I was saying earlier, like even if the Cavs made just 14 of those, you know, they shot 40%, that only takes away 12 points, right? That, you know, they still win this game by 10.
And they have a ton of turnovers that, like, okay, they're not going to have four turnovers like they did last game in the first three quarters, but
yeah.
They're also not going to have, like, 13 turnovers like they had in the first three quarters either. So there's probably a middle ground where they will be.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like everything I could say that would be sort of optimistic for Toronto, I could counter with something that could be even more bullish on the Cavs. And so it's,
I think Toronto's hope here is going to be that A, their role players just start hitting their shots.
Mm-hmm.
Cavs obviously have to go cold, and then they have to let LeBron do all the Cavs are going to have to let LeBron do all the work, and he gets tired by the fourth quarter, and then Kyle Lowry can do something about it. That's it. That's their only hope.
Yeah, it's hard for me to remain like sort of intellectually honest in circumstances like this. I mean, the Cavs have won six in a row, and they seem to be picking up steam. It's hard to imagine a circumstance where they look bad, but these are delicate systems, and they're nonlinear. So, you know, maybe the Raptors get out to an 8-0 lead in game three, and the Cavs like sort of stop trusting the process and, you know, sort of get out of sorts. You can imagine sort of a cascading failure. But in terms of like coming back and winning this series, and LeBron is 19-0, by the way, in series that he
has two is well leads. Yeah.
Two well leads in. But yeah, it just doesn't look good for the We the North.
Yep.
I have a couple questions for you, but do you have anything else you want to talk about this game first?
I thought JR was pretty good defensively through the meaningful part of the game.
Yes.
He was executing the schemes pretty well. I was pretty impressed by him. He took one bad shot in one.
Yeah, but I mean,
one of those threes was really long, but
if you can limit it to one, then right, yeah, exactly. Oh, we should mention Channing Frye.
Oh yeah, he was really good. He had what, five?
Did you notice he was only plus one?
Yeah, because he's so bad defensively that he just gives it up on the other end, but it's fine.
Well, he was in... They put him in basically whenever Valanciunas is in.
Yeah, and Valanciunas hit a bunch of, you know, two-pointers
right.
on him.
Valanciunas, as we mentioned, was 10 of 13, so it's not really Frye's fault. Well, it is because he's the primary defender on Valanciunas, but it's not entirely Frye's fault. But yeah, he was 5 of 7 from 3, 6 of 9 overall. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds, no turnovers.
The point with that bench unit is not that they can outscore other teams, is that they can stay afloat until LeBron comes back into the game. So as long as they're just not getting outscored by a lot, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, LeBron's going to be
Dante Jones.
Sorry,
Dante Jones and Jefferson and James Jones all got a little bit of playing time today.
Yeah. Dante Jones was his usual 0 of 0, 0, 0, 0 all across.
He's got zeros across the board except for the negative 4 in the plus minus department.
Yeah, even Jefferson. James Jones had a turnover at least.
Yeah, at least turn the ball over, for Christ's sakes, man.
Poor Richard Jefferson. I don't know what he did to get in the doghouse, honestly. Like, do you?
I don't know if he's in the doghouse or if...
Are they saving him for the finals? Like, what
well,
are
let's,
they doing?
I mean, let's talk about this. So, I think for similar reasons to last year, Fry and Love will struggle mightily against the Warriors. And I expect...
I think Love can be helpful in a small ball lineup because he can defensive rebound pretty well. And if he's hitting his shot... Last year, he didn't even hit his open threes, right? That was the big problem. So if he can hit his open threes and rebound the ball, I think he'll still be useful. Obviously, he's not going to play like 40 minutes a night, but he can still, I think, get 30-plus minutes a night.
I have some reason for optimism that Kevin Love will be better in this year's finals than last, but that's mostly because he was really not very good from an offensive standpoint or defensive standpoint. He just didn't play much in the finals last year. Jefferson ended up being a bigger plus, or at least around the same, because he was able to switch on defense and provide better defense. And I expect Jefferson to be a better defender of Kevin Durant than I would expect Love to be.
Sure.
I mean, they wouldn't put Love on Durant because that would go horribly. But in any case, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the people that Jefferson would play instead of are some combination of Fry, Korver, and Shumpert. And Fry is playing out of his mind on offense right now, so he's not going anywhere. So then it's Korver or Shumpert. And Shumpert, I think they're trying to give as many minutes to see if what he's doing is for real. And so far,
okay,
it seems like it is.
He's looking pretty good, too.
I mean, in 27 minutes, he was 6 of 8 from the field tonight, 14 points, plus 12, 6 rebounds and assists. I mean, even in the garbage time, like everything he put up there, except for the crazy aspirational dunk that he missed, of course.
He has to get one of those in every game, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. Can't have a game where he misses.
He has to try one every game anyway. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I think it's Jefferson or Korver. And for now, it seems to be Korver. And I'm not sure... I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon. If I were Jefferson, my feelings would definitely be hurt, but hopefully he can.
I mean, he's, you know,
stay sharp.
37-year-old professional. He knows what.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I mean, still in the NBA Finals, and he won a championship.
I know, Arnav. But I mean, you know how it is, right? Yeah. Like, these guys are all human, and you know, they all. I mean, all men have egos, and these guys probably have bigger egos than most, and so. I'm sure he's a little bit bummed, but hopefully the Cavs are doing a good job managing that, and he himself is doing a good job managing that.
Cavs also didn't shoot that well from the free throw line. 74%. Actually, with LeBron shooting that many, it's probably reasonable.
Yeah, LeBron shot 21.
It's probably not reasonable to expect them to shoot better than that.
Yeah, that's just what it's going to be. Irving, 7 of 7, as usual. But yeah, Tristan was 1 of 3. They tried a... Geez, so much noise around me today. Tristan was 1 of 3 from the line. They tried the
Hack-a-Tristan
for one possession again. I don't understand.
Yeah, why would you do it for one possession? Makes no sense at all.
I don't know.
Either commit or just don't do it. Yeah.
Do it or don't, but don't... When you go into it so limply like that, it just... It's powerful if, like, you make that guy think that you're going to keep fouling him and, like, he's like, oh, man, like, I'm going to really let the team down here. But when, like, you go in there limply and, like, if he makes one, you stop doing it, like, that, I think that sort of hurts it. You have to sort of, like, exude confidence and try to make the other guy less confident. At least that's how I would try to coach it. I don't know.
And who knows? It might work on the road. Players generally shoot worse on the road, so.
Right. Hopefully they need to, you know, go to something desperate like that again.
Yeah. What did you think of Korver's game, actually? I thought he was just missing the shots he usually makes. Like,
yeah. He took 4 shot attempts. They were all threes. I thought that 3 of them were good attempts, and he just only made 1 of them. And I'm fine with that. He is not good defensively. There's been some chatter. I mean, as recently as 2 years ago, the year that he was threesis, he was really good defensively, at least by RPM. The last 2 years have been really poor. This year, he was one of the worst defensive players at his position defensively. There are some explanations for that, but that's just what the numbers are. To my eye, he gets, you know, he has some issues. He's just not very good defensively. So in order for him to be a plus on the court, he needs to, you know, shoot 40% from 3. And I think I have confidence he will do that. It's been a little bit hard for him so far in the playoffs to get
shots,
open shots. Now, I think that might be one of the reasons why Fry has been getting so many good looks. It's like teams are so worried about Korver that they're overcompensating there and leaving...
Exactly.
You know, Fry and Darren Williams open a little bit more than they should. And yeah, Fry and Darren Williams were combined 6 of 8 from 3 tonight. So yeah, maybe Korver is just sort of a, you know, fancy decoy out there.
Yeah, Korver's net rating in the playoffs has been just a little bit below Kyrie Irving. So, like, it's not like he's not a positive out there.
Yeah.
It's just that he's not getting the same shots that he did in the regular season.
Right. How are you feeling about our chances against the winners of the West based on, you know, what we've seen the last?
Let's get there first.
You're being
next
superstitious.
Round, we're probably not even going to have home. Well, I think we'll get there, but I just want to see what they look like. Just want to make sure nobody has any injuries going that getting there.
Are we allowed to talk about Boston?
Sure, we can talk about Boston.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did. Isaiah Thomas went off.
He is sneaky quick. I mean, not sneaky, he's just quick. And he's slippery, and he somehow gets shots off, even though everyone's a foot and a half taller than him. I don't quite understand it, and it seems so easy to dismiss him. But if he's able to do this against John Wall, like, he's going to do terrible things to Kyrie Irving.
Well, okay, maybe not with that, but I disagree that John Wall has been good defensively.
He's definitely been bad.
I went back and rewatched the highlights for Isaiah Thomas from his performance last night, and John Wall was getting screened off super easily. He was not even trying on any of those screens. He was still probably better than Irving is usually, because Irving does the same thing. But at least, like, John Wall was running back in transition and blocking shots. But other than that, he was not good defensively at all.
Huh. That's an interesting observation.
I think it's mostly because he's doing so much on the offense. Right, exactly. And it's not just the 40 points. Like, he's assisting on so many different field goals.
I think he had 10 or 11 assists, too.
Exactly. Like, he's doing a lot on offense. So it's understandable. I'm not blaming him for the performance by any means. Like, he was their best player by far. And it was a very close game till the end. And they
but it's not like Isaiah Thomas is scoring on prime Bruce Bowen or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think this is John Wall's peak defensive performance or anything like that at all.
Yeah.
I think the Cavs will trap him too, by the way. They're going to do the same thing they did for Lowry.
Yeah, I think the Cavs outmatch Boston in several ways for a number of reasons. Not a small one, which is that the last time they played each other, the Cavs weren't trying and they still beat them by 22 in Boston. And Boston really needed that. Okay, the Cavs were trying, but Boston was just in such a better spot than the Cavs were at that moment. And the Cavs won handily. That was just one game. But yeah, I just think the Cavs have more talent in general, and their talent matches up against what Boston has on the floor so much better than they do against us. Like, we have so many rocks to their scissors and scissors to their paper that, unless something weird happens, I don't see the Cavs struggling too much there. The Wizards seem like a bit of a worse matchup issue for us, but I don't know if they're going to make it.
One thing I want to mention, though, is that one of the reasons why the trapping works so well for the Cavs is that the bigs for Toronto are not good at decision-making at all. So, like, look at Serge Ibaka next time you watch one of these games. Look at Serge Ibaka trying to make that decision on the roll, and he's confused as soon as he catches the ball. And he's, like, looking around to see what to do, and then he already takes up, like, 3 or 4 seconds before he passes the ball. And by that time, the guy who was double-teaming, DeRozan or Lowry, has already recovered, so basically, they trapped him. They got the ball out of their ball handler's hands, and now it's a single team again, so it doesn't matter at all.
So, presumably, you think Horford can do
exactly
a better job
Horford
of that?
Horford is a much better passer and much smarter player on offense, so, like, he can do a much better job on those roles.
So I think that's right. Yeah,
but
I've been a little confused by how flummoxed Ibaka has looked.
Yeah, I mean, this was his problem in OKC too, right? Like, he couldn't pass he can't pass the ball at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's a dynamic player, but he's got waning athleticism now, and he's increasingly relying on his shooting, and I'll be interested to see what kind of contract he gets.
Yeah.
Because I believe he's unrestricted, right?
Yeah, they traded for him, hoping that they could re-sign him. Who knows?
And they have his full bird rights because of that.
Yep. If you were Toronto, what would you do this offseason? Because you have Lowry coming off the books and you have Ibaka coming off the books, and I believe PJ Tucker might be coming off the books too.
Yeah, I don't know what you do if you're any of these teams that aren't the Cavs or Warriors, because it's like, well...
or the Rockets. Let's be honest, the Rockets are pretty good too right now.
Sure, but it just feels like there's a Parcheesi blockade at the top, and if you don't... If you are re-signing players in order to maintain a peak a little bit longer than you otherwise might, maybe the better decision is to trade someone, you know, is to not re-sign those players and tank, or sign and then to trade them at some point in the future to try to acquire assets. I'm not sure what you do. I mean, Lowry is what, 31? Or is he just now?
And he's short. He's only 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like, short point guards generally don't age that well.
Yeah. I mean, he's an elite player. So, he just turned 31. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, he's going to want like a long deal, and some team is going to offer him a bunch of money. So then the Raptors have to decide probably whether they want to give him the fifth year or if they want to. I mean, yeah, I don't know what they do. But we probably shouldn't do the funeral for the Raptors yet, since, yeah. I mean, they are in, if you just can't go by point differential, they are in a slightly better position this year than they were last season. And after game four, the series was tied at 2 apiece. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we're going to look silly here. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Do you have anything else?
That was all I had. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good. Just excited about game three, which is Friday, I believe.
Yeah, Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I think this one's on ESPN. So I think that means it starts, the TNT games start at like 7:02 or whatever. But I think.
Yeah, I plan for like to get home at around like 7:05 or 7:15.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always miss like the first few minutes of the games.
Yeah, I think the ESPN games have like a more protracted pregame. So.
Okay, that's good, I guess. But I hate the ESPN broadcast, and I don't get ESPN, so I have to use their app, which is really slow. So,
yeah, well, life's tough, man. Anyway, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. And Arnav, I forgot. I said that I was going to do that at the beginning. I forgot to do it again. Anyway.